If you would turn with me to the book of Hosea, we're going to be in chapter 3. We're still looking at God pursuing us. And in Hosea, when we're looking there, Hosea has an interesting dictate from the Lord, one that is unique in Scripture. He tells Hosea, the Lord does, Hosea, I want you to go and I want you to get a wife from, if you, depending on the version you have, a wife of whoredom, a woman who is unfaithful, and I want you to marry her. And can you imagine if you are a prophet of the Lord, if you love the Lord with all your heart? And of course, one of the things that is foundational in Scripture is this minor little glitch that we call the Ten Commandments. I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible, we'll go into that. It says, thou shalt not commit adultery. So God says to Hosea, Hosea, I want you to go out and I want you to marry an adulterous woman. By the way, in the very first printing of the King James Version of the Bible in 1611, they forgot one word in that in the Ten Commandments. It wasn't the one on adultery. It was the one on murder, where it says, thou shalt not commit murder. They forgot the word not. So it was just a slight mix-up that can have a profound effect. I'm sure some people went ahead and acted on that while they could get away with it. But can you imagine being a prophet for the Lord and having God tell you to do something that would seem in your mind to go against absolutely everything that you know to be true about God? He says, I want you to go and take a prostitute or an adulterous woman or a woman from whoredom and marry her. And Hosea goes out and he chooses a wife, and her name is Gomer. Apparently, they had three children, and the first one, God said, I want you to name this child Jezreel, because I will surely punish this land. Jezreel is a valley in Israel. We know it as the Valley of Armageddon, where the last great war will take place. Many, many wars have been fought there. And so the name of the first child will be Jezreel, because I will surely punish this nation. And Gomer became pregnant again. And God says, you will name this child No Mercy. Names you'll be picking for your children anytime soon? How about naming your third child Not My People? Can you imagine the impact, well, on Gomer and on Hosea, not to mention the poor child that has to go to school, and when they are sharing their names, he's going to raise his hand and say, well, my name, her name, is Not My People, because God is going to abandon this wicked and adulterous people. And so much for Grace and April and all the pretty names out there. And you can see this picture that's going on, and Hosea yet is a prophet of God. It's important. Today we're talking a little bit about God's love as from a husband's perspective. Can you imagine marrying a person knowing that that person, without question, is going to be unfaithful. So think that through. And yet God says this of Hosea, I want you to do this. And it seems like trouble upon trouble upon trouble, God is pouring on Hosea. And he's doing it for a purpose. There's some question among scholars, well, is Hosea really just one great big metaphor for God and his people? Or is it an actual set of events that happened so that God could use his life as a metaphor? It doesn't really matter because God uses all of our lives that way. We are witnesses to a lost and dying world. And so God is using Hosea and his relationship with his wife and children to bring people to a place of repentance, a place of understanding, of desiring to read the Word, to know who he is, to seek his face. And he does it in our lives every day. I will say when I was in Seattle last week, I was brought to a very interesting place in my life because we were given this assignment, mentioned it a few times, I posted it on Facebook, where the head of our conference said, I want you to do this thing called a walkabout. I want you to go and talk to people that you wouldn't normally talk to. Well, in a small group setting where there's 10 other people that I do not know, those are the 10 people on the planet at that moment that are making me the most uncomfortable. I'm not an extrovert. It's not like, oh, look, I got 10 new friends. It's like, oh, look, 10 people are in my space. They must die. That's just what goes through my mind. I don't want to be in this room with in this setting. I can stand up here all day long. I can talk to a crowd. I can talk one-on-one or maybe two-on-one. But to put me in a room like that is difficult. And he said, well, I want you to go and talk to someone that you wouldn't normally talk to. I really didn't need to leave the room. But no one else seemed to have the same problem, and they all, off they went. So I went out on the street and I found a homeless person and I bought some cheese and some crackers and some apples and of course Pepsi because Pepsi is absolutely necessary. And we sat down and I said, I will feed you if you will tell me your story. And so Thomas began to talk to me, and at age 4, Thomas's mother had overdosed on painkillers. He went to live with his father, who was a heroin addict. At age 15, his father died of HIV. He went to live with his grandmother, but when he dropped out of school, she kicked him out. He was now 21. Chances of living much longer didn't look overly good. He didn't seem to be in the great health. I don't know what he may have contracted while he was on the street. While we were talking, homeless person after homeless person after homeless person showed up, and we just talked. So there was Thomas and Chelsea and Street and two others who wouldn't give me their name and one who wouldn't take a handshake or a fist bump because he wasn't sure whether or not he was contagious. And as I sat there, we had a great conversation, and the time came, it was time for me to go, although you will kind of get this neat idea. I was wearing this heavy leather brown jacket. It's kind of raggedy. I've had it for a while, and my very best Sunday blue jeans. I had a beanie cap that was pulled down, and while I was sitting there talking to them, a young lady came up and handed me a bag of Danish, because apparently I looked homeless. It also struck me that I don't know if I were homeless and hungry that a bag of Danish is exactly what would be on the top of my list to eat. When I went back to class, I shared the experience. We all had to come back and share the experience. And it amazed me the impact that had on the people in my class. They said, we would never do that. That had a huge impact. And as I read Gomer, and as we teach through this, here's the problem. Until we can love people, we can never lead them to the Lord. I was talking with a couple gentlemen the other day. One of them said, can you believe I was in church and the pastor wasn't wearing a suit? The other guy said, I know. I saw a pastor walk in one day in blue jeans with his shirt tail hanging out. And I was speechless. I said, well, maybe it had to do with the audience. And they said, you know, you just don't show that kind of disrespect to the Lord. And I realized how often we don't love people. We judge people on the smallest things. I try to catch myself now because it's hard not to. When you get in this, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And we all have likes and dislikes. People that drive Chevys or drink Coke or, you know, I mean, we get that. But think of the things that we don't like and we judge people on. Until we can sit down with someone, regardless of what they look like or how they smell, look them in the eye, be completely present in that situation and not think about how can I get out of this situation and just love them because they're created by God, we will never reach them for the Lord. A woman walking up and handing me a bag of Danish was very kind. I even think they were fresh. I think they were expensive Danish. And she smiled when she handed me the bag, but said not one word. Not one. So we come back to Hosea. And Hosea has Gomer as a wife. And Hosea has three children with Gomer. I will punish, no mercy, and not my people. Bet their family pictures were great. In this story, God is Hosea. Gomer is Israel, the people of the Lord. And they have borne three children, punishment, no mercy, and abandonment by God. And of course, as the story goes, Gomer does what Gomer does. I mean, I go and I buy a car. I expect that car, when I turn the key, the ignition will start. I push on the gas, the car will go. When I push on the brake, the car will stop. I mean, you buy a car to do what a car should do. You marry a spouse, and they should do what a spouse should do. When you know, everything has a purpose and a place. Gomer does what Gomer does. He said, go and marry a woman of whoredom. He does, and she does. She leaves Hosea. And God says, so she leaves Hosea, she goes back out on the market. Not back out on the street, she goes back out on the market. Okay, getting the picture here? And God says to Hosea, Hosea, go after her. You need to buy her back. You need to forgive her. You need to love her like before. And you can imagine what must have been going through his mind. Because in ancient Israel, this was not something that you would do. If someone committed adultery, the punishment of adultery was what? Death by stoning. Not only would you not go and bring her back, but you would not even stay married or permit her to live. She would be stoned. And if you did allow her to live, and if you did allow her back in your home then becomes unclean. It's not just that she remains an outcast. We know how that is. In our society, if someone goes and does something wrong and then they decide to come back into society, they're forever ostracized. A wall is built around them because we have a hard time of forgetting what people do. And we have a hard time of forgiving what people do. God says to Hosea, Hosea, I want you to go and I want you to buy her back. I want you to forgive her. I want you to do what is right, what I am telling you. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband. Yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. I'll explain the raisin cakes. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot. Nor shall you have a man, so I will also be toward you. So he goes back and he gets her. Raisin cakes were something that you would use during a celebration. She's having a party. Or at least she's at a party where her skills are greatly admired. And he says, go and buy her back. And bring her back, because she is the picture of Israel. I am the God. You all have gone off, and you are having a party, and you are eating raisin cakes, and having a good old time. You need to come back where you belong. Hosea, of course, is faithful to God. He buys Gomer back. He restores her to his home. He loves her. He restores her not just to his home, but restores her as his wife. He sees her as the person that God intended her to be, not the person that she has defined herself to be by her actions. And this is where we run into a problem as a society. We see people a certain way. Do you know why Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today? Because they tell you, convert or I kill you. That's very convincing. Nobody wants to die. But if we really practice the Christianity that we believe, it would be the fastest growing. Not because we're threatening people, but simply because it is harder to reject love than anything else. Thomas told me, been on the street for 6 years, no one's ever asked me my story. A little while later, I met Sandra Swanson, also homeless for 11 years, woman in her 60s. She said, no one's ever asked me my story. And certainly, no one has ever hugged me. little while later, I met Bohemia, not a homeless woman, but not necessarily a woman that you would have in your home. So she had a home, and you're happy with her staying in it. But she was a communist. She had very colorful language, not quite as colorful as her clothes. I took our picture, posted it on Facebook. She says, "Can I ask you for something?" I said, "Absolutely." She said, "Can I have a hug?" Because that's what she never gets. In a little over 24 hours, three very easy acts of kindness. Hugs cost absolutely nothing. Worst case, you get lice. Well, by the way, this is day 22 of No Shave November, and I fill in pretty quickly. But there are opportunities around us everywhere just to love people. A million Syrian refugees wouldn't be a problem if enough people in America loved people simply because they were created in the image of God. I'm not perfect, and I'm certainly not there, because we all struggle with social stereotypes. I know at least that I do. This is what God is saying. We cannot outrun God's love. He loves us when we are faithful. He loves us when we are on the run. He loves us when we return, regardless of what we've done while we were out on the run, and He restores us completely. Most of you know by heart, if I were to ask you, this psalm. The 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We know this, it goes on and on. The last line of this psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I underline the word "follow" because clearly goodness and mercy is God. Surely God is going to take care of me. He is going to follow me. But that word "follow" is not what that word means in the Hebrew. That word "follow" is radaf. It's a root word that means literally to run after. And usually not just to run after, but to run after with a hostile intent. To literally put to flight, to pursue relentlessly, to take over, to chase with a purpose. In other words, goodness and mercy are not going to follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy are going to relentlessly chase me. They're going to hunt me down. They're going to follow me adamantly. It's not just that, oh, if I'm a Christian, if I'm good, I follow the law of God, goodness and mercy, that's going to be part of my life. Oh, no, 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 no. You cannot possibly outlove God, out-sin God. You can't outgive Him, out-hope Him. You can't out-anything God. God can give anything, love anyone, give more than you can possibly even handle if He were to give it to you. He says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing you can do that He cannot forgive and will not forgive. There is nothing we can do to step outside God's love for us, except one thing, and that's deny his son. So he says to Hosea, Hosea, I want you to go and get a wife. And I want you to get a wife who is going to be a picture of what Israel is to me. And I want you to do what a husband should do, regardless of who she is or what she does, regardless of how she acts. I want you to love her absolutely. We talked last week about the shepherd and the sheep. We know about Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And he says, I'll stand here and I will knock. And the tense of that word is, I will stand here and I will knock forever until you come and answer this door. And when you answer this door and you're ready for me to come in, I will come in and we're going to sit down and we're going to have dinner. And until then, I will stand here and I will knock for all eternity. And he keeps knocking. And God says to Hosea, as you read this book, how can I ever judge the one I have loved so much? It's not what God chooses. If you look at, since you're in Hosea, Hosea chapter 11, chapter 11, verse 8. So after all of these things that Israel has done, God says this, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me, literally wretched. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar. And his sons will tremble, come trembling from the west. And they will come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. This is what God says. I created man. I love man. And I'm grieved when they do the things that are wrong. But I love them. We're called to love each other like God has loved us. To just find one person, to be completely present with them. I read a book this summer, and it said, when you talk to someone, look them in the eye. Be right there. Don't be anywhere else, just be right there. Okay, sounds good. I mean, you were taught that from a little kid, but I never do it. So I started doing it. When I walk up to someone, shake their hand, I look them in the eye. You know how many people never look you in the eye? A lot. You know why? Because they're not there. I was never there. But to go and find just one person, not to look at them with sympathy, not to look at them like, oh, the poor person, but just to see them as God sees them, one of his created ones whom he loves, and just say, hey man, tell me your story. To find three people in one day who have said, no one ever asked me my story. When we care about people, we care about their story. What got you here? They're not looking. Thomas was not looking for me to set him up in an apartment. He wasn't looking for food. He wasn't looking for money. He was clearly hungry. He had the munchies, I'll say that, because we all know Seattle, everything's legal now. So he was glad for cheese and crackers and apples. But he was even gladder that someone asked his story. Someone who wasn't afraid to sit with him, although at least they didn't show it, and they weren't afraid to touch him. And how many times do we miss those opportunities? Surely goodness and mercy shall relentlessly pursue us, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord if we will but follow the shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we read the wise words of Hosea, we see the love that we should have for God, the love that he has for us, and the love that we should have for everyone we meet. Regardless of politics, regardless of situation, Father, the people that you put in our path for a reason. Sometimes they cause us to stumble. Sometimes they block our way. But if they cause us to stumble or block our way, it's because you have put them there. Father, help us to be in the presence of mind, to pay attention, to find out their story, to find out why you have put them in our lives. Father, let us see your people as you see them. Father, your story in Hosea is that you want your people to repent. Father, help us to see the same cry that Hosea was crying then today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.